My name is August Mazzara. I'm 15 years old. Today is January 7th, 2018. I'm speaking with Glenn Mazzara, who is my father. We're recording this interview in Los Angeles, California. 2019. January 7th, 2019. All right. So what was your childhood like? Like, where did you grow up? What would you do?
I grew up in Queens Village, Queens, and lived at on 210th Street, and that was a very small house in which seven people lived in a three-bedroom house. And I went to a local Catholic school. It was around the corner, called Incarnation. And then when we were seven, we moved to a much better neighborhood called Douglaston that was closer to my grandparents. And that was kind of like an old area of Queens that had, you know, big lawns and old homes and stuff, not working class. It was, you know, a little more upscale. And I lived in an old house, and a big house, and I lived with my my dad, my mom, my grandfather, my two brothers, my sister. We had a dog. And so there were a lot of people in the house, and I walked to a Catholic school and went there until eighth grade.
So how did, like, having that many people in your family, like, affect you as you grew older?
As I grew older?
Yeah.
Well, I think I learned certain things that were habits or ways of being. So, for example, you know, I think I learned very much how to deal with groups of people. I'm comfortable in groups. I learned sometimes I would want privacy, so I would go off and read because everybody was watching TV. So, you know, you couldn't watch TV by yourself because somebody else wanted to watch TV. So I would, and we didn't have computers in those days, so I would go off and read. So I learned how to read. That ended up being a love of books. I studied English and American Lit when I went to college. I got a master's degree in that, and then I became a writer. And I think a lot of that had to do, in that first house I lived in Queens Village, was my grandmother read to me, and I learned how to love reading because of her. And then that was sort of a private thing. It was, she was sick, and I would go into her bed, and she would read to me, and then I would go and continue reading and read the books to her, come back, and I remember we read Treasure Island or Black Beauty or kids' books like that. So I think then I, you know, the reading then led to a love of reading, a love of books, a love of writing, and now I'm a professional writer. So I think that has to do with me kind of finding my own space. You know, mm-hmm. I think I, well, that's a good answer. Do you want more than that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
But you talked about, like, finding your own space. So, like, how is your, like, relationship with your parents growing up and your, like, siblings? Like, were you close with them, or did you
kind of... Yeah, I would say we were very close, but I think there was a lot of fighting. We loved each other and cared about each other, but my mom had, you know, a bit of mental illness, and then she ended up becoming addicted to, like, pharmaceuticals, to medications. And one of the things that led to was, it was this kind of secret that, you know, you didn't discuss. So that led to a type of dynamic in the family where people were always whispering behind each other's backs. There was a lot of gossip. There was a lot of, don't tell anyone I'm telling you this. And then you would tell that secret, or somebody else would tell your secrets. So I think... So, and I remember when I got older, when I was about 17, I was very mad at my dad for allowing all this to go on. But I think that secrecy and conspiracy and that type of, you know, dynamic that comes out of living with somebody with a drug addiction, led me to become a person who is very honest, who really wants to speak his mind, listen to other people. I like things to be out in the open. I don't really like secrets. I don't like people who are trying to do stuff behind other people's backs. Like, I feel very strongly about that. And so in my job, I'm very much the person who people come to because they know I'm not going to betray their secrets. I'm not going to tell things, you know. And so it's I think that kind of negative model led me to seek a better model in my life. And I think that I've done a lot of work to make sure that I'm honest and transparent and set that example for my sons so they don't grow up like I did.
Mm-hmm. So how was your school experience growing up, and like what school did you go to? What kind of school did you go to? Was it a strict school?
When I first started school, I went to Catholic school. I went for kindergarten and first grade, and I went to a place in Queens called Incarnation. But most of my grammar school was, I went to another Catholic school when we moved called St. Anastasia. Mm-hmm. And then for high school, I went to St. Francis Prep. So I had Catholic education for, 13 years. I always had nuns as teachers. In high school, we had brothers, Franciscan brothers. There were always priests, so a good part of the day was, going to church in the morning. I was an altar boy in the mornings and on Sundays, sometimes Saturday nights. And it gave a structure, I had to go to Mass every Sunday. I had religious classes. You had school mass anytime there was an assembly, or there were some classes I went to that you began with a prayer. We began the day with a prayer. You had ceremonies, like you had the sacraments of confirmation, first communion, that kind of stuff, penance. So it was important, and you took it seriously. And if you didn't, you were severely reprimanded. You got in trouble. They were very, very strict. When I was in grammar school, you got hit by the nuns. You got hit really rough, and so there was a lot of you couldn't joke around or whatever because you'd get hit. So that kind of leads to. People, when they get in sixth or seventh grade, you act like a wise ass because you don't care if you get hit because the nuns are smaller than you. Mm-hmm. So then they end up piling the punishments on and all of that. So, a lot of the kids I went to school with were nice. I'm not friends. I'm friends with kids from high school, not so much grammar school.
Yeah.
Maybe a few, but. I would say it was very strict and ordered.
So do you think you benefited from that sort of strict, independent childhood you kind of had?
I don't know if I could say I benefited. Like, that's what it was. I can't say I would be better if things were different, or I would be worse if things were different. How could I say that? So I think, there were certain things that were good, that I learned structure. I think I got a good education. I think I did well in school. There was an expectation, and I kind of rose to the mark. I don't know if I wasn't in that kind of school, would that have been good? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't drink or smoke or do drugs, you know, so it was kind of strict, so I didn't have that experience. And I know people who went to other schools and they maybe, you know, had trouble. I know, you know, people certainly got into, it was a lot of drinking in high school, so I think maybe the idea that everything was so tight that then when people had the opportunity, they went crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So you had that kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were, there was a lot of ridicule, a lot of people making fun of each other, you know, there was a lot of bullying, and I think that there was never any, you know how like, say when you have, say something goes wrong in school, or there's bullying or whatever, and they bring kids together and they say, well, how do you feel about this? How do you talk about it? And people say, well, I feel like you did this to me. Or, you know, like nobody did that. It was like nobody cared. It was like the teachers did not care how you felt,
mm-hmm.
or what you thought about anything. So after a while, you just kind of shut down and keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's negative, but I can't say, I can't think of how that's,
mm-hmm.
what it would be like to be different. I never thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned you grew up in New York. How did you get over to Los Angeles?
So I was married to your mom, and older brother Liam was born, and I was working in a hospital, and I wanted to be a writer, and I tried a couple of different ways to write, like maybe I was going to be a playwright, maybe I was going to write short stories, maybe I was going to be a screenwriter, and then I found TV writing,
mm-hmm.
and I liked TV writing, and I was good at it, or I thought I was good at it, so I made a connection with a guy who was a manager, and he liked my writing, and after I wrote a number of scripts, he got an agent that he was friends with, and he said, hey, this agent is interested in repping you. So I came out, I met them, and they said, well, why don't you come out, you know, at that time there was a particular time of year that everybody staffed for the shows that were coming on in September. Well, the new shows came on in September. They
right.
didn't come on all the time.
Yeah.
They only came on after the summer. So those writers are hired in May. So I came out for May. I stayed on a friend's couch. I got a meeting at a show, and I went in and I talked to those writers, and I really didn't do well in that meeting. I had a panic attack. I was so nervous and everything, and they felt bad and told me to come back when I was less nervous. So I came back the next week, and they liked me and they hired me.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a script to write, and I did a good job on the script. So then they hired me to work on the show for like 2 years.
Right.
So at that point, you know, I knew just when that was going well, before I was hired for the 2 years, we figured, oh, this is really good, and maybe we could do this. So then Mom and I moved Liam out, and we put all the stuff on a truck. We hired a truck, all our furniture and stuff, and that was driven across. And we flew out, we stayed at a friend, with a friend, and then when the truck got, and I had rented an apartment, and the truck came to the apartment, we unloaded, and we lived there for a few years.
Right. Interesting. So, our last couple of questions. What do you think the rest of your life holds? Are you content with your life now? And if not, what more would you want to accomplish?
Well, I'm content with my life, but that doesn't mean I don't want to accomplish more.
Right.
So I think I've learned a lot of skills. So there's more stuff I want to write. I have some novels I want to write. I have a book I want to write about like my thoughts about Hollywood and racism and sexism and that kind of stuff. I would like to write that. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to spend time with my family and travel and all of that. I'd like to you know, continue to make TV shows. What's good about my job is I can always work on a different type of show. I can always do something different, creative. So I think it's a matter of using my skill to do stories that I'm interested in. And I think also what's important is that because I've kind of, let's say, become a leader in the industry as far as talking about inclusion and diversity and gender parity and all these things about making sure that Hollywood is not just white and male and getting more people working, more people have equal access and equal opportunities to keep talking, like I was talking about that today, to all these NYU students, you know. So it's important for me to continue to provide leadership. So I think I still have a lot to do, but I feel like what's been good is I've developed my life, so I'm in a position to do that stuff. I don't feel like I'm very happy with my marriage and my kids and my family, and I think I've, you know, very lucky to have a good family, and I've worked hard at having that family. But I think career-wise, I have learned from my mistakes and my successes to be able to continue doing more of what I love doing.
Then our last question here. How would you want to be remembered as a person?
Well, I think I would like to be remembered as a person who was generous, as a person who made a difference to people, and as a person who, when other people, I think a lot of people will say, you know what? When I had a problem, or I was confused, or I didn't know what to do, I called Glenn, and Glenn helped me figure it out. And I think to be able to say I made a difference in people's lives, or that I affected people's lives positively, you know, that I took time with people when other people weren't giving them time, that I helped people that no other people wouldn't help. I think, you know what I mean? That would be probably, you know, that I made a difference in small ways for a lot of people. I think that would be, I'm pretty sure that's how I'll be remembered. And I think I'm fine with that. I think that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's all the questions we have today. But thank you for listening. And good night.